When's your birthday? 26th. This week, right? Next week. Okay. Well, we have something for you. Happy birthday. Yeah. Joy. Olivia's not here. Okay. Well, we come to the last YPG 2 message for the year. For some of you, it's been three years here. Yanning, I've seen you how many years? Okay, since Sec 1, right? So that's 6 years. Okay, it's been a joy. And then, and Grace as well. And so you're going to move on to YBG3. I'm not. But it's been good. It's been good to see y'all grow through the years, see where you are right now with reference to your faith, and then taking your A-levels. And it's good for us to be able to look at what you have been taught all these years. Okay, for some of you, 6 years. For some of you, this year. You know, many things have been taught to you. Do we practice these things? Okay, and that's our challenge for this afternoon. You know, it's to be able to take the time to think about what we have learned and what is it that is really part of our lives. Okay, that's something for us to consider. Okay, we're going to take a bit of time to pray for all those who are taking O-levels and A-levels. I know you're very... Are you stressed? No? A bit? Okay, well, we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pray this afternoon for those who are taking their O-levels and A-levels. We pray, dear Father, that you be with them and help them to continue to rely on your grace and your mercies. We pray that you will strengthen them. We pray that you be with them as they continue to prepare. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will grant them your grace and wisdom and peace of heart, even as they take their exams. Help them to read their questions carefully. And we pray that they will answer to the point of the question. And we pray that you will bless each one. Help them to do their very best for you. We ask for your blessings. And bless us as we study your word. We pray that you will enlighten us and help us, Lord, to truly practice the Beatitudes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we are going to talk about what it means to be salt and what it means to be light. Now, it's not a new lesson. So I'm going to try to help you understand things in a slightly different way. Okay, now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 first. And we see the Lord Jesus as truly the great light of the world. Okay, in Matthew chapter 4, we read in verse 12, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, okay, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light.'" Okay, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. As he preached the word of God, light shone forth. Okay, now what's the difference between us and the Lord Jesus? We are meant to be what? You are the? Okay, chapter 5 and in verse 14, you are the light of the world, correct? Jesus is the great light. See the difference? Okay, it's the same word in Greek. Light is force,
Okay, and he means light. Now, the difference is God, the Lord Jesus, is a great light unto those who sat in the region in the shadow of death. All those who are taking A-levels and O-levels, they are going through the shadow of death. Right? Are you all going through the shadow of death? Fear no evil. Okay? The Lord is with you. Light has dawned. Soon light will dawn. Okay? After the exams. Okay? Yeah. So light has dawned. Now that is something that's very special. So before we even talk about the Beatitudes, before we talk about us being the light, first we want to look at the Lord Jesus as truly the great light. Okay, our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, our example is, you know, it's good to have, you know, intermediate examples. Okay, maybe Pastor Charlie, Pastor Mark, right? But the best example we can have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the one who brought great light. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, so his focus is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This is his focus. This is what it means for us to practice the Beatitudes. It's being part of the kingdom of heaven. We are part of his kingdom. He is the king. We are part of his kingdom. Can you see that? And that is something for us to have in mind. So when we study about the Beatitudes, we are meant to be citizens of the kingdom. Okay, we are meant to... This is kingdom... this is what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. Okay? This is kingdom culture. This is how we should live in Christ's kingdom. Can you see how important it is for us to practice the Beatitudes? Because they represent Christ. They represent what it means to live in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This is kingdom living. Okay? This is what it means to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. When you go to a certain country, you see people having certain characteristics. Okay? They live in a certain way. They, you know, they have a special sense of, you know, culture. Right? Okay, when you go to Japan, what is the culture like? How many of you have been to... Most of you have been to Japan? Right? I think all of us. So what's the first thing that you like about Japan when you go there? Tokyo. What's the first thing you like about Japan? What? Michelle? Huh? The food. Okay, ramen. Okay, ramen's everywhere, right? You run to the ramen store and you enjoy a bowl of nice, really good ramen. Okay, what else is good about the Japanese people? What? Eatingo, okay. Well, we can watch on TV, yes. What's interesting about the Japanese people? They're very? Polite. Yes, so the moment you go there, they're, you know, yeah, right? You go on, you know, when I went to the train, when you go on a train, straight away, the young people, students, they will get up. Then I, thank you. And I go and sit. Singapore, where got such thing? You go in, everybody wants to sit. Right? But in Tokyo, wow, the people there are really, really nice. That's Japanese way of life. Right? Everything is very clean. Right? Everywhere is clean. And everything is very neat. Everything is, wow. I still remember going to buy a piece of cake. Right? I went to the shop downstairs. Everything's so expensive. I could only afford a piece of cake. So I went there and, I like this piece of cake. So I ordered a piece of cake. It looked so good. You know, I just want to take it and eat it. But the lady took the cake, brought it outside, took a box, took ribbon, and then began to wrap it. Then after that, take the box, put inside the box, then put, dry ice, and then cover, and then wrap. And then, I was standing there, hey, hurry up, I want to eat it quickly. Don't need to wrap. But, because she took so much effort to wrap it, so I stood there, straight away in my heart, I want to, she took almost 10 minutes to wrap my one small piece of cake. And I thought that was really, really interesting, and it was fascinating. So I dare not eat in front of her. I took the cake, went to the side, and then I ate it. But that's the Japanese culture. You go there straight away, this is Japanese people. Right? Same. Do we have a kingdom culture? A Christian culture? A kingdom of God? We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Do we have a Christian culture? Do we know how to practice a Christian culture wherever we are? You know straight away, hey, that person is a Christian. That person is someone from where? Bethany. There are Christians and there are Christians. Do you understand the phrase? You don't understand the phrase. There are Christians. There are many, many types of Christians. But there are Christians from Bethany. That is distinct. That is different. That is truly light. It's a Christian culture that we are seeking to have for all of us. You see, that's what it means to practice the Beatitudes. We spend the last 3 weeks studying about the Beatitudes. The most important thing now is the word assimilation. Okay, it will come up for your O levels. Maybe A levels, assimilate. What's assimilation? It's assimilation? Okay, let's spell assimilation. What? A. Okay, how do you spell? S-S-I-M-I-L. A T I O. Whoa, sure come out one. Such a long word. Assimilation. Right? O levels. Sure come out one, I guarantee you. If not, you can use it. Use it in your essay. Whoa, sure get full marks one. Whoa, the teacher. Assimilation. A levels, yeah. It's a common word. Assimilation. You see, we can learn about the Beatitudes, but the Beatitudes must be assimilated. We must assimilate the Beatitudes in our life. It should become part of us. Assimilate. You see, we can learn many things, but do we assimilate them? Are they part of us? If you go to Japan, you stay long enough, you very often become like them. And Ewan went to stay there for some time. When she came back, this one looked like a Japanese girl. her mannerisms, the way she talk, And she loves to be there. Okay? And people assimilate. You go to India. What's the first thing I learned when I went to India? That what? That when they move their head like this, it does not mean no. It means yes. That's the first thing you learn. Then after a while, your head also starts moving. You follow them. You assimilate. Right, Steve? But I don't see you. Huh?
In South India.
South India. No, you don't move your head. Yours is normal. you assimilate, yes. Okay, South India, yes, wow. When When they first came to Singapore and we had to teach them, the one of the first student pastors, no longer a student pastor, after that he failed. But when he first came, then we asked him, do you understand not? And he said, yeah. No, he shake his head. You don't understand? Come, let me explain again. Then he said, do you understand? Then he shake his head again. Then after a while, we realize, how come he keeps saying no, for everything? Then after that, he explained, my shaking of head means yes. Oh, okay. Now we understand. Okay, assimilation. My challenge to you all today is to assimilate, to make all that we have been learning part of our lives. Okay, and if you were to do these two things, if you were to assimilate, then there will come forth two things from you. You will be salt of the earth and light of the world. You will learn what it means to have an active faith. Okay, faith is something that has to be active. It cannot be passive. If you say that we have faith in the Lord, it will express itself. Okay? One, in being, and two, in doing. Being and doing. Being is personal righteousness. Doing is practical righteousness. Can you see that? What is salt? Salt is what you are inside you. You are salt of the earth. Whether you like it or not, if you are a Christian, you are already salt. What kind of salt are you? Are you a salty salt or a not so salty salt? Okay, so you are salt, whether you like it or not. And it depends on whether you are salty or not, right? Okay, I'm sure many of you have been to the dentist, and sometimes they give you this solution to drink after treatment, and it's very, very salty. Have you all tried it? I went to teacher Li Wei, and he was saying, oh, Mitch, you should gargle this. Gargle your mouth with this. And so I gargled my mouth. Wow, it was super salty. Never, you know, to me, it's like, wow, this is really, really salty. And it's, but why do dentists ask people to gargle their mouth with, you know, very salty liquid? Why? What are the properties of salt? What is salt used for? O-level question, come on. Right? Why? Why is salt? Why is so important about salt? Salt is, okay, what's the technical name for salt? What? Sodium chloride. Okay, sodium chloride. Am I right? Okay. Sodium chloride. Yeah. What is it used for? What is it used for? First, very simple, straightforward. It's used for? Don't know what salt used for? Grace. Huh? Flavor. Yes. Okay. You know, the Burmese people, they love very salty food, right? Steve? Yeah. Do you like salty food also? You also love salty food, huh? Recently, y'all sent me a picture of, the whole gang went to eat Burmese food. Let me see whether I got a picture. Where did y'all send it to? The lunch in Bethany, is it? Ah, okay, wow, look at that. Can y'all see or not? I don't think y'all can see. Okay, this is Burmese food. Okay, very small. Yeah, this is Burmese food. It's at Peninsula Plaza, right? Yeah. Okay, if you like Burmese food, you can go to Peninsula Plaza, the Kopitiam, is that one of the... And I tell you, Burmese food is super duper salty. When I mean salty is, wow, you take one bite, your tongue is preserved. It's so salty. Wow, my tongue. Preserved for eternity. It's so salty. My goodness, I tell you. Right? But you see, salt is meant for flavor. It's meant to give a distinct flavor. So when you eat this fried bee hoon or carrot cake or whatever, there is a distinct taste. And that's what a Christian is meant to be. We are meant to be distinct. Especially we, as being part of Bethany. You know, when we serve God, when we do things here, we seek to be distinct from the world. We seek to be distinct in everything we do. Nothing but excellence for God. We seek to be distinct. Okay? So that's something for us to think about. Salt is also used to preserve, right? What are we preserving? What are we trying to preserve with reference to the earth? Where does salt come from? Laura, where does salt come from? From the sea. Where does salt come from? The earth. Where? Which part of the earth? They are called? What are they called? Do you know there are salt mines? Do you know that? It's not just from the sea. There are huge salt mines. And they are, you know, like, it can be as big as 50, 100 feet, you know, in circumference. It is huge. And, okay, there are salt mines. And that's the idea here. It is meant to preserve that which is good and righteous. Okay, when we are good and righteous, when we have personal righteousness, you see, we begin with imputed righteousness. Okay? When we are saved, we have imputed righteousness. Okay? Then we have personal righteousness. When we live for the Lord, we can be personally righteous. And then we have practical righteousness. Okay? Salt of the earth, we are meant to be. The challenge is for us to be different from the world. Okay, so the idea of salt, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Okay, salt is meant for many, many uses. Okay, how many uses are there? Salt, how many? What do you think, Yeni? Give a number. 20. 3. 3 uses. 50. 100. 120. This is like beating like that. Okay, higher, higher, come on. 30. We gone 120, now go back 30, okay? 30. Aaron. 40. John. 10. Joseph. 10. Grace. 1,000. Do you know there are 14,000 ways of using salt. 14,000 ways. That is a lot of ways to use salt. Okay? And one main use is to preserve all that is good and wonderful. Okay? To be distinct, salt was also used as a form of prepayment to soldiers. It's worth. Bags of salt was used to pay Roman soldiers. Can you see that? Okay, so they salt was something that was very valuable. Now, turn with me to Mark 9, verse 15. Mark 9, and in verse 50, we read. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Wow, I like this. Be salty. Okay, have salt in yourselves. So how to be salty? Right? Tobias, how to be salty? Sweat a lot. Okay? How to be salty? When you practice the Beatitudes. When you really assimilate the Beatitudes, you will be salty salt. You will be salt that is salty. Now, if you are salt and not salty, you have, you know, salt that has lost its flavor, it is then good for nothing. So my challenge to you is to be good for something rather than to be good for nothing. Right? To be good for many things for God rather than to be good for nothing. Okay? And when you are good for nothing, then you end up with nothing. God cannot use you. Right? So my challenge to you, you know, for all of you, do well in your studies. You have not been doing well, never mind. There's still next year. Work hard. Do well in your life. When you can do well in your life, when you practice the Beatitudes, then God can use you in many different ways. Right? So my challenge to you is to be useful for God. Be salty. Now, if you are salty, then you can be light. You cannot be light without being salty first. No salt, no light. Can you see this? The light is one thing. Light can only shine forth when there's something from within. Can you see this? So the challenge is to be light. Faith that gets down to doing something for the Lord. Okay? To be light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And he gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Light. Okay? Same as the Lord Jesus. Light. So we are light. He's great light. We are light. Okay? Now, turn with me to Philippians. In Philippians, chapter 2, verse 15. And I want to explain this verse to you. Now, what does it mean to be light? In Philippians 2, verse 15, it says, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, okay, and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, the word light here is different from the one in Matthew 5 in Greek. It's the same word in English, but in the Greek, it's different. Okay? It's the word phoste. It's the word, what it means is star. Okay, we are meant to be like a star in the night. So the word here, light, shine as light, lights in the world. We are meant to shine as stars in the world. Can you see this? So the world is like space, is like darkness. And we are meant to be like stars shining in the night. You know, I like to look at stars. I like to look at how the stars can fill the whole night sky. In Brunei, when I was walking in the jungle, and when we walk into the clearing of, you know, a space, and when you look out into the night sky, you see millions of stars. And it's amazing. The stars can actually, you know, light up the night skies. And wow, it's really, really, how many of you like to look at stars? I don't mean Korean stars and American stars. Some of you do like that, huh? But I'm talking about night skies. Real stars. Yeah, some of you. And you know, I love looking at stars. In fact, if you go to Pulau Tekong is where we do national service. And there was once when I was picking up all these expanded rounds from the ground, and everybody had gone back, they switched off all the lights, and you know, we had to take torchlight and to look for all these expanded rounds on the ground. And then after a while, I look up in the sky, and the whole sky was filled with stars. Sometimes you think Singapore got no stars. Actually, we have. It's just that because of the ambience, we can't see it. And the whole sky at Pulau Tekong was filled with stars. And it was amazing. And you know, every one of us, we are meant to be stars. Stars that will shine in the night, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Holding fast the word of God. And that's our challenge. We are meant to hold fast to the word of God, doing all things without complaining and disputing. Sure, I mean, maybe the papers are not as easy. Don't complain, right? Don't dispute. Don't, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, it's very, very interesting. The contrast that's there between the world and us. And Paul used three adjectives to describe us. To be blameless, free from fault. To be harmless, not tainted by sinful motives, not mixed, that's the idea here. Children without fault. Without spot, without blemish. Okay, that's the idea in Greek. To be blameless, free from fault, harmless, not mixed, not tainted by sinful motives, without fault in the midst of a... Without fault, without spot. Clothes, sometimes when you wear white clothes, you know, maybe you drank soup too fast, and then along the way you spill some onto your shirt, you didn't notice, but when you went home and then after you clean, there's a spot there. Recently I bought a nice shirt, nice t-shirt, and then I put in with some other clothes, and then along the way, wow, the blue from this shirt transferred over to my white shirt. And it was, ayo, spend so much money on the shirt. Okay? And then I went to talk to someone, and someone said, very easy, Pastor Mitch, just bleach it. So I went to buy bleach, okay? And I poured some of the bleach, and then I left it, and it became white again. Wow, I was very happy. These are the... You know, little things of life that you can be happy about. But it became white again. But you know, there are spots. Right? These are spots that blemish a person. And our challenge now is very interesting. Blameless, harmless, without fault. Three adjectives. The world, generation, two adjectives. Can you see how the world is crooked and perverse? It is crooked and perverse generation. So how do we fight against a crooked and perverse generation? Wow, we use these three adjectives. We be blameless, we be harmless, we become without fault, children of God in the midst of crooked and perverse generation. And you know what? When we seek to be blameless, we shine. We shine for the Lord. We seek to do that which is right in the sight of God. Okay? And the idea here is practical righteousness. It is seeking to do that which is right. It is seeking to reach out to people. It is seeking to do that which is good. So personal righteousness is determined by what we seek to do. You see, light is never meant to be hidden. Why? Why the emphasis, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden? Neither do a person light a lamp and hide it. Okay? Now, what is he trying to say? Why do people hide their light? Why do people hide their faith? One, they feel ashamed. Two, they fear being persecuted. Okay? These are the two things. One, they are ashamed. They are ashamed of the Lord. Two, they are scared. They are afraid if they are persecuted. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, we read the last beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You know, do we have a faith that will still rejoice and be exceedingly glad despite being persecuted? See, that is the kind of faith we are meant to have. If you practice the Beatitudes, what will come forth? Joy. We will find the joy to rise above all the problems, whatever persecution, whatever opposition we may face. Joy, it is a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. It is a joy that transcends the challenges of life. So you can still go through your O levels and still find joy. You can go through your A levels, maybe, you know, the paper is not as good, but you know what? You can still find joy. So what if we have a few lesser friends who may not agree with us with reference to being a Christian? So what? We can still find joy in God, right? Great is your reward in heaven. We learn to live beyond the physical realm to the spiritual realm. We learn to live beyond the things of this world to the things that are eternal. We learn to live beyond just approval of men to the approval of God. We go beyond the things of this world. Can you see this? That is our joy. Joy that is in the Lord, not in the things of this world. And we should not be afraid of shining forth our light to this world. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share the light, to being a light to all who come into our midst, to be a blessing to people. Let's not be afraid. you know, I learned to give. I learned how to do good works to people. Recently at the NTUC, when I came out, there was this man who came to me and he said, "Sir, you look like a nice person. Would you like to contribute to this, you know, charity organization?" And I look at the person, he's sweating, he's been there for quite a long time. And sure, I told the person, whatever you want me to give, I will see what I can afford and I will give. And so this was meant to be food for the poor. Okay, they have this food basket for them and so on. And it was for this organization. And I say, okay, put me in. Let me do my part. And so I gave $50. Okay, he wanted me to give $150. I say, no lah. I think $50, you ask two more person, you get your $150. Okay, I will give, but I won't give so much. I will give to many, many different causes. And so I gave. And I gave this amount, and you know what? That's my way of shining forth as light. In whatever way I can. Whatever you can afford. Whatever way we can reach out. To give to the needy. To those who are in need. Yesterday I spent time with someone whose mother just passed away. Okay? Now I want to... There's this lady in our church. Her name is June. And her mother was perfectly fine. She was praying in the church on Friday morning. Thursday morning. And she got up, fainted, and she had a burst blood vessel in the brain. It's called an aneurysm. And that's it. She went into a coma, and she never regained consciousness. And we went to visit her yesterday morning. And it was very, very tough. Very tough for June, very tough for her. Because she's very close to the mother. And, you know, Pastor Mark and I went down to be with them, to be with the family in their time of need. Okay? And my challenge was to encourage her to be that light, to shine forth as light. There you have all their relatives, but you know what? We will stand by her, be with her, encourage her. You know, if you don't have a good relationship with your mother, do something about it. Or your father. One thing I've learned is, from this episode, is that you don't know when God will call them to go home, or, you know, it's time for them to die. Don't take it for granted. One moment, just like that, life ends. So if you don't have a good relationship, do something about it. Reach out to her. Reach out to your father, to your mother, to your brother or your sister. Do something about it. Don't wait until it's too late. See, no matter what she wants to say to the mom, she can't say it. That's it. Everybody tried talking to her when she was in a coma. That's it. She can't respond. And yesterday afternoon, about lunchtime, she passed away. And it's very, very tough for the family. It's very, very sudden. And that's life. Life is frail. Life is short. Whatever you want to do for God, do it now. Don't wait. You want to shine forth for the Lord? Then practice the beatitude. Shine forth for Him. If there are two things that you want to do with reference to your life, it's one, be salt of the earth. Two, be the light of the world. Shine forth with good works. Do something with your life. Don't wait until, when I'm free, when I have a bit more time. Now is the time. Do something with your life. I'm seeking to do whatever I can with my life. I don't know. Maybe one day, I can also just die like that. one vessel in my brain just explodes, and that's it. This is the third or fourth person I've known who have had an aneurysm and passed on. Some years ago, there was this person that I knew, and his brother, same thing, blood vessel burst, and he died. 27 years old. 27 years old. Anybody 27 years old here? Suen. That's it. Life is over. See, we all have a very short life. Life is very frail. What is it that you want to do with your life? What is it that will count to God one day? If God is counting on you, the Lord Jesus is counting on you to be salt, to be light, will you be that salt? Will you be that light? What kind of salt? Okay, sure, you want to be, but what kind of salt will you be? What kind of light would you be? That depends on whether you practice the Beatitudes. Okay? You know, young people, life is very, very short. Life is very, very frail. You know, we think that we have a whole, you know, many, many years ahead of us. Maybe we have, maybe we don't. Maybe some of us will have shorter lives. Some of us will have longer lives. But you know what? My uncle, my youngest uncle, my youngest auntie, they have all passed on. My grandma has passed on, and they all have passed on because of cancer. And you don't know. You don't know when the word cancer will come out in your family. My mom has cancer. And because my mom has cancer, you know, all of us are also prone to having cancer. And you don't know. You don't know when life will end. When I was in the Air Force, I went for 12 funerals. You know, when you see death like that every other month, here's a person you talk to, and the next moment he dies. He's involved in an accident. When a helicopter goes down, 3 people die. And when you see death like that, wow. You really understand that life is very, very frail. It's like, you know, like in Harry Potter, you know, there's this part where they have this cartoon where we have 3 ladies holding on Caesar's. The Deadly Hallows, right? There was one part. And you know, life, all our life is like on a thread. It's very frail. When it's time for you to go to be with the Lord, that's it. So you got to think, what do you want to do with your life? What is it that you want to do with it? And my challenge to you is to be salt, is to be light, is to reflect the Lord Jesus in all that we seek to do. And if we were to do that, then our lives will be worth something. Our life will be worth something to God. What is your life worth to God? Not to men, but to God. What is it worth? Okay, you think about it. So seek to be salt. Seek to be light. Again, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon we want to pray and ask, Lord, that you help us to truly consider what it means to be salt and what it means to be light. Lord, we know that you have given us a short life, one short life. We pray, dear Father, that you will grant us wisdom to know how to live our lives well for you. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to assimilate the things that we have learned this year. Lessons about faith, lessons about character, lessons about what it means to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to pray for each one of us that we pray that you will help us to be able to practice these things in our life, that we can be counted to shine forth for you in all that we seek to do, wherever we go. And we ask dear Lord for your blessing, and bless us as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.